Hi there, I'm Lena Anani, and you're listening to She Wrote a Book, where I interview amazing women from all over the world who also happen to be published authors. I created this show to educate, entertain, and inspire you to be the voice you want to hear in the world. Now let's get started.
You are listening to episode number 123 of She Wrote a Book, and today I'm interviewing Lisa Fontana, author of the book, Me the People, Learn, Choose, Share. This book offers you the tools to help you decide on and then vote for the next president of the United States in a fun, friendly, and judgment-free way. It's designed for people who have an interest in voting but can't take the politics of it all. Lisa Fontana is an average American who kept a dark secret. She didn't cast her first vote for anything until she turned 35 years old. With total dedication to judgment-free, balanced information, she bridges the gap between people in the know and the reader. Again, her book is called Me the People, Learn, Choose, Share. You can find the link to purchase her book in our show notes for this episode at shewroteabook.com/123. So, Lisa, it's such a pleasure to have you as a guest today. My first question for you is this: what inspired you to write and publish your book?
Well, first, thank you. I'm really excited to be here today. It's just so nice to just kind of talk about the importance of this message and take some of the fear and angst out of voting in general and this particular election in specific. I got inspired to write the book by accident. In fact, I've talked to so many people now and everyone wants to know why I felt I needed to bring this to all the ignorant masses. And I always laugh and say, I am one of the ignorant masses. And we don't like to be called that. So when you understand what it feels like to not vote and you understand what it feels like to proclaim your ignorance, thinking people will help you because we're so good at helping each other, and then to find yourself being criticized or made fun of, or my favorite, oh my God, you're apathetic, and if you're not going to vote, then don't complain. And instead of anyone ever saying, wow, you don't know how to vote, can I help you with that? It changes the dynamic. And so all I ever was doing was putting together information for myself because I couldn't find a book. They're either too complicated or too negative. So I just started hunting down information for myself, and then over time, more and more people would say to me very privately, oh my gosh, Lisa, you don't vote either? You know, I don't vote. And they whisper, and everyone's so embarrassed. And I thought, my gosh, this is a widespread problem. So as I looked into it, I mean, it's 90 million people is the estimated of current non-voters who vote because they don't feel like they know enough, or because they're concerned about what they don't understand, or because the whole thing freaks them out because we don't teach civics. And that's what inspired me to put it together and actually share it with people.
That's incredible. I love that, you know, you did it for yourself, but then it eventually spread. It was a tool for everyone else if they could benefit from it. I love that. You talk about the ignorant voter. What does that mean?
Yeah, what I like to tell everyone who comes in, and I teach with a lot of props and we do a lot of fun stuff, but most people that I bring in at these welcome seminars are people in their 30s and up. I've welcomed people well into their 60s who just weren't part of the in-the-know crowd. So I would say there's two different kinds of people. There's what I define apathetic voters as, which is hopeful Americans who feel left out or dismissed by either people in the know or by their government. 42 states in our union don't teach civics anymore. We used to, and it baffles me that if you want to feel free in this country, it requires that you understand the owner's and operator's manual. That's our Constitution. That requires you to know how the federal government works, which requires you to know how your state works, which requires you to know how your local town works. In third grade, I don't know if it happened to you, but for everyone I know, in third grade and first grade, the firefighters would come through and they would teach us fire safety. And then when they left, we'd all get fun hats and these little booklets to go home, and we'd pester our parents about moving the newspapers and not having that octopus plug, because they knew that the more kids they educated, the more house fires they would stop. And then the dentists would come in, the hygienists, and they'd teach us how to brush our teeth, and we would get free Colgate samples, and we'd chew on those pink tablets, and it would show us where we're brushing well. And when they left, we got little treats and stuff too, and booklets to go home. And the point of that was that teaching kids how to brush their teeth cuts down on gum disease, which creates heart problems, brain problems, body problems. So by teaching us how to do this, we're saving millions of people, stopping fires, and then the whole stranger danger with police officers and understanding how to recognize drugs and how to go ask a police officer for help. We never had a politician come to school and ignite our passion about our country, how it works. If you see on the corner that there isn't a stoplight, little kids are very observant. They see things that aren't right, but we think of potholes and street lamps and things that go wrong in our city as gravity. I have no control over gravity, and I have no control over what happens in my town or my state or my government. It's not true, but the reason we feel that way is no one bothered to share that info with
us. Lisa, why do you think that is? Why didn't they teach us civics at a younger age?
There's a really negative reason, and then I think there's a mix of my own. And the negative reason is keeping citizens stupid makes it easier to control them. But the rest of it in my studies and travels makes me, it feels a little more even. And that is, you're always cutting and changing how you teach. All the departments of education on the state and then federal level are constantly warring over what kids should know. Civics was never on the list of things that are important because for some reason they think that a love of country and a passion for this land and for the future of it and a general understanding of civics, they think that that's just something you'll pick up. It isn't true, but that's the sort of the thinking behind it. Who doesn't know how to vote? Who doesn't know what the three branches of government are? And that's true. We all know the basics generally. But that's it, and then you're sort of left on your own. So they did. We used to teach it in every state, and over time it's just fallen off because people don't think it's important. And I think this year among all, you've seen why it's so important. People are angry because their government's not serving them, but we really don't know how to make them serve us. The more of us who learn that, the easier this will be. We won't have to have such crazy, contentious voting years. We can, in fact, learn to lobby our Congress for a redress of grievances and understand local, state, and federal and our place in it. It's pretty easy, but it's just something that, for some reason, all the departments of education have decided not that important.
So what do you think about the generation who did have that education growing up but has still become apathetic, still thinks, oh, you know what, I'm just not going to vote?
It does depend. I say that there's always going to be a small group of people that if you lit them on fire, if they didn't vote, they'd just stand there and burn. But more and more people, it has to do typically with either their experience. So, for example, most people go to the DMV if they want to get their voting card. Most people don't know you can go so many other places. Well, the Department of Motor Vehicles shouldn't be the standard bearer for our government. They're filled with not happy people on government salaries and government attitudes. And I know very few people who leave going, oh, yay, what a great day at the DMV. And so more and more people, they start with this turned off feeling. I used to work introducing people when they would come to town. I worked for an events company, and we would pick people up at the airport, put them in their cars, and then we'd be with them for the week of a convention or conference. And most of the time I spent meeting them at the airport was calming them down in the baggage area, because the police department at O'Hare is so contentious and so rude that they've got lots of pressures. But by the time they would get off a plane and feel like they were in Chicago, they were miserable. They felt very out of place and very upset. And I would spend more time saying, yeah, don't worry, they're doing a different kind of job. The city's lovely. It's filled with great people. And you spend a lot of time trying to undo negative images. So if you had a bad first experience or you went to vote, 25% of people who go in to vote, their vote doesn't get to count because there was some sort of mix-up at the election at the polling place. And it didn't get fixed because either the person who was handling it, at who was an election judge, didn't know enough, or the person trying to vote didn't know their rights. And so 25% in Illinois tend to leave having not gotten the chance to vote, or perhaps only getting a provisional ballot. And when you leave, you think, I'm never coming back. So a lot of those people who have these strong attitudes, one thing or another about the process turned them off, or specifically something didn't go their way that they cared about, and then they just turned off the politics or their government altogether. If I let them talk long enough, and you understand where that person's coming from, you usually can find and pinpoint that area, and then we address it. I let them talk. I ask for their feedback. Once you kind of address it, then your brain goes, oh, I see where I can be either to fix what I don't like or to come back in, to lean into politics in my own way, whatever that might mean to you.
That's fantastic. So for people who are ready to vote but just don't know how, what steps can a person take to register, to decide, vote for the next president? You know, it just seems like so much information for someone who's not familiar with the process. What would be the best first steps for them to take?
The first easiest step is to register to vote. And that's where the wheels come off for a lot of people because they don't know how to do it. And if they think they have to go to the DMV, then they're out. And I get that. Most states, you can either register online or you can download the registration off the internet at vote411.org. All you have to do is let them walk you through the process. It'll ask you for your information, your name, your street, your zip code, and then it will tell you, based on your state, here's how it happens. If you can register online, it'll pop up with a great button. Click on it. It'll take you over. If you have to download the ballot, it will tell you how to download the ballot. It's a very accessible place because everybody wants everybody to vote. The other place you can go is iwillvote.com. That's a newer website. All the same information. Once you've registered, now you've maintained your right. If you get up on voting day and say, look, I'm out. This is too much. I can't deal with it. That's okay. But I, for you, want it to be your choice. If you get to election day and say, oh, my gosh, I feel great. I looked over Lisa's book, and I learned some stuff, and I feel really confident, and then you can't vote because you didn't register, oh, I want to spare anybody that angst. So that's step one. And then step two, when my book says, Me, the People, Learn, Choose, Share, I want you to learn as much information as you need till you feel comfortable. That's it. You don't have to learn enough to make other people think you're smart. Learn enough till you say, you know, I feel good. I feel like I understand what I want to do. And then you choose who you want to vote for. And if you can't feel like you're getting an understanding of who to vote for, the contentiousness on TV is, I'll grant you, really negative. There's a section in my book called Liar Liar, and it's a set of factual websites. No matter what, because people write them, you're always going to get some sort of bias. But if you look at three or four different sites that are considered bipartisan, which is representative of either side, then you're going to start to be able to build, oh, okay, here's what's really happening or here's what I see. And then the last thing I tell people is most people have opinions, and I like that. That's what you want. But what we haven't done is given them form. So if you sit down and you look over the list in my book, I have a whole list helping you tone and shape your body of opinions. It's a whole section on how to do real yoga. It's theology yoga. And so it's a list of the different things that we do in this country, things about the environment, things about social security, national security, the economy, Department of Education. We all can't care about everything, so don't even try. And don't let anyone tell you that you need to because they're straight up wrong, and they don't do it either. So I wouldn't worry about it. But circle the top three for yourself and just write down what you think about it. You don't have to share this with anybody. No one's going to make you talk about it. This is just for you. And once you kind of get a feel, then just try and fill in the gaps. Why do I feel that way? What's going on? What would I like to see changed, let's say, in education? And once you can start to see a pattern of how you really feel, well, now you have a body of opinions. And once you have a body of opinions, you don't have to listen to another pundit on TV again in your life because you don't care what they think. You watch a debate and you decide, what did I think of what they said about what's important to me? And just write it down. When you get all done, you can look at that sheet of paper and your own brain will start to say, you know, I feel more comfortable with this candidate or that candidate. And it makes it easier to feel confident to walk in and vote. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So, Lisa, my last question for you is this. What do you love most about being an author?
Wow. I like that people can get to know you without you ever having met them. Somebody reads your words. I was extremely fortunate to be at a party during the last debate, and a woman came running up to me and said, I just heard that you're the author of Me the People. And I thought, yes, and not a very well-known one at the time, so I was sort of flabbergasted. Someone had purchased my book and placed it at their hair salon. This woman was very new to the country. She just completed her citizenship test to become, she had come from the UK. And so she was an official American citizen, and she stayed at the hair salon and read the whole book. It's not that long, but still, who sits at a hair salon? And she said, I love the way you write. Now I know what it feels like to feel welcome in my new country. And I thought, wow, I just had the chance to affect someone in a deeply personal way, and I wasn't even there. That was really, it just meant a lot to me, so that someone could get to know you and could come to some new personal understanding, whatever it means to them, and you don't even have to be in the room to be connected. It's, wow, what a gift.
That's awesome, Lisa. Thanks again. Thank you so much for being our special guest today. We will have a link to your book in the show notes for this episode, and our listeners can find that at shewroteabook.com/123 to learn more about our author and her educational book. I love it. Thanks again, Lisa. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to She Wrote a Book. If you enjoyed this episode, then subscribe now so you can automatically get access to all new episodes, and feel free to share your inspired thoughts with us in the comments too. I'd love to hear from you. Until then, may you always feel good and make magic.